Now let's set a scene. An American city is dealing with a deadly disease outbreak. Cutting-edge science offers a way for people to get immunity from the illness, but there's pushback against the medical intervention, leading to court cases, partisan disputes, even threats of violence. The city, Boston, the disease smallpox, the year 1721. And the medical and political drama included characters like the minister Cotton Mather, already famous for his role in the Salem witch trials, and a young apprentice printer named Ben Franklin, later to be famous for his role as Ben Franklin. Our next guest wrote up the story in his book a few years back. I read the book a few months ago, and we invited him to share the story and maybe some lessons from three centuries ago for vaccinations today. Stephen Koss is based in Wisconsin. He's the author of The Fever of 1721, The Epidemic That Revolutionized Medicine and American Politics. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, here we have smallpox, a horrible disease hitting Boston in 1721. But here's this practice that's brand new, at least to the white population of the city. What was variolation?
Variolation or inoculation was a means of preventing people from dying of smallpox. And the way it worked was you would harvest the pus from the smallpox pustule on someone sick with the disease. You would make an incision in the arm or leg or both of a healthy person, and then you would implant that incision with the pus. And what would happen is the person who was inoculated or variolated would get a minor case of smallpox, but get over it quickly and then be immune for the rest of his or her life.
And this was brand spanking new for Western science. This is something that had been done in other cultures for a long time, right?
That's right. It had been done in China. It had been done in Africa. It had been done several places in Turkey. But it was totally foreign to Western medicine, both in the colonies and in England and most of Europe.
Now, we're taking big shortcuts in your story here, but this, it caught on with some people, including the minister Cotton Mather and a doctor or two, but it ended up being this really divisive practice in Boston. Can you talk about the divide over this new process?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was, I'm glad to say that it's, you know, as much controversy as we have now over COVID pales in comparison to what happened in Boston in 1721. I hope it stays that way. What happened in 1721 was that a lot of people were outraged by this procedure. And it was partly because, you know, it was very counterintuitive. You're giving people smallpox to save them from smallpox. So it didn't seem to make much sense. And even the doctors, especially the doctors, except for one doctor, were opposed to it. So that was one reason. And then the other reason was who it was coming from. And this is where I think there's a similarity to today, because part of the objection was also to the fact that it was from Cotton Mather, as you mentioned, who was still pretty infamous for the Salem witch trials. That had happened 30 years earlier. That was considered an infatuation that had cost people their lives. And people thought, well, Mather's up to it again. This is another infatuation. It's going to cost people their lives. And then even worse, his proof for thinking that this ought to be attempted was that he had learned about it from his enslaved African servant, whose name was Onesimus.
Talk about the violence that ended up coming out of this. A grenade left for, I think, Cotton Mather himself.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, both Mather and Boylston, and I imagine Onesimus as well, were assaulted on the street, were taunted. They had to hide from lynch mobs. Boylston had to hide for a week from a lynch mob because he was the doctor who was performing these against the better judgment of the rest of the medical community and the town as a whole. Mather, of course, was the one who came up with it. And Mather was already pretty unpopular, as I mentioned, among a lot of people. And he towards the end of the epidemic, in that case, as it seemed to be kind of waning, he was inviting people in from outside of Boston proper to be inoculated, and someone firebombed his house. And fortunately, what happened was the grenade or the firebomb came through the window and hit one of the metal fixtures on the window, and the fuse came out. And so the bomb did not explode, saved the lives of the gentlemen who were there being inoculated, Mather and his entire family.
We're talking to Stephen Koss, the author of The Fever of 1721, The Epidemic That Revolutionized Medicine and American Politics. Now, you wrote this pre-COVID-19 pandemic, Stephen, but I got to admit, I mean, reading your book, I was definitely reading it from the perspective of what's going on with COVID now. What were you thinking, having written that book during COVID, especially as vaccinations started to roll out here?
Yeah, it was a really fascinating experience. You know, we always hear how the past informs the present, which is true. In my case, as you've mentioned, I wrote this book and then COVID hit. So I got to actually learn a lot about my book because I was going through something similar, and not many historians have that opportunity. And initially, my reaction was of course, you're looking for similarities. My initial reaction was, well, it's, you know, the smallpox epidemic, when it broke out in Boston, the government and the officials tried to downplay it. They tried to minimize it mm-hmm. because Boston was a seaport town. It was the third busiest seaport in the entire British Empire. And so this was going to be devastating if smallpox came to the economy. So that's not unlike what a lot of us thought when COVID first showed up. So that was my initial kind of, well, yeah, it's a lot like this. But I have to say, you know, as the situation's been evolving, and then we got the COVID vaccine, and now you're seeing something a lot closer to what we just talked about with this very vehement and sometimes violent or threatening violence reaction to something that people are afraid of.
There's a big difference between this smallpox inoculation then and what vaccines are like now. I feel like I might have been reluctant if I were around that day. They were new. It actually gave you a little bit of smallpox. You could actually spread it from getting that inoculation, right? Like vaccines right now are so much safer than the smallpox initial vaccination or inoculations were, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Much, 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 much safer. In fact, you know, as we said, this is inoculation or variolation. It was replaced by what was called vaccination because it came from cowpox, and vacca is Latin for cow. And vaccination was, in its most primitive form, was much safer than inoculation because, as you point out, you didn't actually get the disease and you couldn't communicate the disease having gotten it. And, you know, the only analogy I can think of right now is sort of the way people think of some of the mRNA vaccines, which they see as new and unproven. And I think, you know, we tend to latch on to the dangerous part, but similar or perceived dangerous part or unknown. But the, you know, what's similar is the apprehension. What's very different is that we know a heck of a lot more about not only smallpox, but germ theory and all of medicine than we knew back then.
You spend a lot of your book looking at how this affected American politics and journalism, and we're going to leave that a little bit by the wayside. But one big effect on American history, years later, you have a general named George Washington saying, hey, this technique really works. We've got smallpox coming to hit our ragtag American army in the Revolution. What does he do?
Yeah, in 1777, he ordered his entire army inoculated. And that was both daring in the sense that, as you say, inoculation wasn't foolproof, and also daring in the sense that he had to do it in a semi-secret manner, because if the British, you know, the ragtag, as you called them, troops were already not exactly doing great, and if the British knew what kind of disadvantage the Americans had as they were pulling troops off the line to inoculate them or inoculating them before they came onto the battlefield, it would have been a decisive advantage for the British, and it might have cost us the war. On the other hand, there are some people who know way more about the Revolution and about George Washington than I do who will tell you that deciding to get the troops inoculated was the smartest thing George Washington ever did as a general. Because if smallpox had broken out amongst his troops in any kind of big way, they would not have been able to fight on, and we would not have won the Revolution.
Stephen, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's Stephen Koss, Madison, author of The Fever of 1721, The Epidemic That Revolutionized Medicine and American Politics. There's a lot more to that story. If you want to hear more of it, check out the University of the Air archives at WPR.org for an extended conversation between Stephen and our own Normand Gilliland. Again, find that online at WPR.org.